In the beginning, the Lord Nyx made the snow world. He gathered his droppings across the sky, and they became the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars. And he gathered the snowmen of the world unto him, to live within his kingdom, where they would never be destroyed. But Vanderbilt the tyrant, the first among them to be made king, abused his power for personal gain. And on account of him, the snowmen became isolated from the rest of the multiverse. Now, today, one snowman is about to make contact and break the cycle in which he and his friends have been trapped for so long. See this snowman as he walks through a field. Three balls is he made of, with an amulet around his neck, glistening with magic. It is this amulet that keeps him anchored in the mortal realm, which protects him from melting. It is a few seconds before he is due to encounter the very girl who will change his life forever. The girl you see before you sits on a grassy knoll, nursing a wounded leg, tears dripping from her eyes. She has four legs, each covered with a plethora of eyeballs, and from her back protrude two large wings, each with rather large scales. She has four faces, that of a lioness, that of an owl, that of a person, and that of a cow. Near her, six sheaves of wheat bow their heads to a seventh. Miss, are you all right? Whoever you are, please leave me alone. Now, there's no need for that. I mean you no harm. My name's Eric.
My name is Oriel. It means my light is the Lord.
Well, Oriel, I dare say we shall get on very well together. Up you get. It's all right. Everything's going to be fine. Shh. Snowman and Angel walk off together, stumbling down the hill. The girl leaning on the snowman for support. The clouds move across the sky. The village of Wookie Hole is just down the road from the wheat field. As they turn into the village, they pass the public field. On one side, there are rows of houses, while on the other, there stands a pub adjacent to the local church. It is called the Wookie Hole Inn. And don't come back.
Right, I'd better go about finding us some rooms. Harvey, landlord, you have a spare room?
Indeed, we do have a spare room. Good night.
Yes, indeed.
Right, I'll get the cape.
Look at him fooling about with the children. If only he could stay focused.
Dare say your friend there looks rather peculiar.
And please don't bother with the breakfast.
A snowman?
Aye. Meanwhile, in her golden void outside the multiverse, the great lioness Nalsa sleeps. Ever since she created the world oak, birthing it from her underbelly, she has sunken into a deep sleep. Were she to wake up, the consequences would be merely unfortunate, but not catastrophic. The room the snowman and the girl are assigned with is a rather comfortable affair, with an ensuite bathroom, a carpet on the floor, a large double bed, and a fixed sofa under the window, through which sunlight pours through. The snowman can only stand around in amazement, while the girl thanks the landlord and shakes his hand.
Ah, how lovely this sofa is. You should try it, Eric. That hand he wears around his neck. Sounds interesting. I don't have any interest in these things, but some invisible power is drawing me to look at it. It has Hebraic runes on it, that's for sure. But it also has the words, Nile Expedition.
And don't touch it! It's mine! I'm so sorry. I don't think I can give it up. I need it.
Oh, it stops you melting. I get it. And you don't want to melt. Which is perfectly understandable, to be sure. It's just that I've never seen a snowman walking around in the springtime before. What's your history?
Scarcely do I remember the two girls and me. It originated from Birmingham, the greatest city in the Sceptred Isle. This royal seat of kings, this seat of Mars, this England. I melted in the sun, much like every snowman would, and I ended up in the snow world. I grew tired of the cycle of melting and remanifesting in the mortal world. I wanted to see more things in the spring, so I stole this amulet from Portobello Road and fled.
The snow world, can I visit it?
Alas, no. Only snowmen can enter the snow world. Mortal flesh cannot. Deep within the Mendip Hills, there lies a certain cave. Extraordinary is this cave, for it is a portal to the lake at the edge of the multiverse, where beasts dwell fiercer than can be imagined, and where dwells Gormenmire, the feeder of Brex, the civil serpent, and other names. Today it has woken up and is departing from its cave, for it senses snow flesh. A day later, the snowman and the girl, now relaxed, leave behind the Wookiee Hole Inn and climb up into the Mendip Hills. The higher they climb, the more the countryside is spread out before them, like a diorama of itself. The sun shines brightly on the rocks, and the grass grows gently in the breeze. Yet Auriel can sense that something is not right.
Easy. You're already mad.
The more I know me, the less I like me. Do you think the villagers will discover this?
I very much think they will. Mutton guarders, you never know what they'll end up doing. Now I think we'd better get out of here before we cause even more of a ruckus than we need to. Aprite porte la portatem. I have created a portal to another world. In you, Hop.
There are other worlds.
Yes, indeed there are. Nobody here knows that, of course, and nor should they.
Good Lord, is this really the void between the worlds? What will our heroes do next on their long world-hopping travels? What bizarre species will they encounter? And what does Eric mean, the more I know me, the less I like me? Find out in the next installment of Nyxphere. Episode 2. Is this really the void between the worlds?
Obviously. What did you think it would be?
I don't know. Maybe an endless empty void, not unlike the one down there.
I've heard of this. It's called the World Oak. It's the largest of all the trees that have ever existed.
And it is. All alone, sitting in an empty black void, floats the World Oak, its trunk both stretching downward and upward indefinitely. Imagine the tallest tree you can think of, a mighty redwood, or an oak, or anything like that. All would pale in comparison to the World Oak, for it is infinite. Down below the oak, a four-headed chipmunk climbs.
Let's try something out. Aprite porte la portatem. Now this sounds like chaos.
Weird quadrupedal creatures attacking little dwarves. No, not dwarves. They have scales, not skin. And their skulls appear to be a different shape. Wait just a minute, you hideous beast. That's my amulet. Give it back. Oh, no, I'm starting to melt.
Come on, Eric. We better get you somewhere safe. Well, this sounds like a perfectly civilized place. Wait a minute. Those people are having steps over me. Come on. We better find someone who can help you.
Sorry, but I cannot let you see the king. He decided a wrong law and must remain locked up until sunset.
We need to see him. It's important. My friend here is melting. The amulet has been stolen, and without it he cannot stop melting.
I will see what I can do.
That was a waste of time, wasn't it, getting our hopes up like that?
There's a reach down there.
Eric, we don't have time.
Something's off down there.
She's not wearing much, is she? There's some air covering half her face.
Well, you're not exactly dressed appropriately yourself.
Will you? I wonder if it is to meet my rose people's face. Who are you?
Lady Aqua is the younger sister of Lord Nyx, our divine god who all we snowmen all must obey. How is he, by the way?
He grows and says greetings to you. He is well and strong. So, what's the word? You can see by the drops falling on him, Eric is starting to melt because his amulet has been stolen. Without it, he will melt and return to the snow world,
which is not something I want to do.
We hope the Miss Noikoi will help. Not all of them will. Some are working with the gullies. They call them the clogs, if you must be certain. Gullies? The creatures that stole your amulet, Eric. They've been feuding with the Miss Noikoi for I only know how long. Be wary of them.
The Immortales? Aqua is disappearing into the air.
Off to the heavens, I expect. Remember what she said, Eric. We must be on close watch for them.
I hope we get that amulet back soon. I'm almost a puddle now. Well, at least the king is out of prison, so there's that. Look, those two little Miss Noikoi down there look shifty. They're plotting something. I can tell very well they're plotting something. What is a golly doing in my hut? One hand Eichner at once. Wait a minute. That golly is wearing my amulet. I must try and get it back.
No, Eric. But anything you do could make the situation worse.
Come on out, golly. We shall fight you on the plains. We shall fight you on the landing grounds. We shall hunt you to your... Till your blood stains the plain, we shall never surrender. Come on, you dastard. Scared. Thank God it is dead. We shall have the amulet. Magnifique.
Now, Hexen, let us fly hither, Eric. Well, let's never go there again. Hello, Eric.
Greetings, O Ratatat, messenger of oak.
Greetings, O Eric. Thou of the race that have been exiled from the oak until now. A star shines on. What tidings be there for thy companion be but sorely perplexed?
There be naught to be said. A four-headed chipmunk that stands before them on the large branch is at least as tall as Eric himself. Four faces can be found on the single head. His fur is brown with a white pelt.
It is now that I must travel hence.
I thank thee, Ratatat. Oriel, are you right?
No. If anything, I feel dismayed at what I have seen.
What implications will this have for our duo of adventurers? And will Eric ever be able to climb a hill again? Find out in the next installment of Nyxphere.
Master Kana, it seems to be spreading.
Something must be done, Marianne. We must not lose the name of action. Tell the Imperial messengers to dispatch posters across Funfrain City.
Yes, sir.
Nyxphere, Episode 3, The Funfrain Crisis. Behold for yourself, gentle listener, Funfrain City. A monolith of intelligences other than our own, with tall buildings of all shapes and sizes dwarfing smaller ones down below them. It is a place where the Funfrain rule over the Fauns, Ogres, Scruntlips, Kimono Mimis, and other species resident there. It has stood the test of time, but not the test of snowmen. But be this poster, the Funfrain Emperor gives 200 qualms to anyone who can dispel the Archaon infestation. Good Funfrain, devout children of the Emperor who is limited by Oceanus at the limits of the world, what be this? The substance which the wizards of Umulu term Archaon Skag have ravaged the palace for a while, good snowmen. His Majesty, the Emperor, has promised 200 qualms, viz. The currency of our empire, whose seat resteth in the Herbs Aeterna, to anyone who can dispel this infestation before it spreads to the rest of the palace. Many souls have tried, all have failed, and His Majesty despaireth of the chance that the baneful substance can e'er lifted be, until the last stars come down from the heavens, or when Oceanus's 50 daughters desert the sea in all their pomp and revel. If thou wouldst consider this, gentle snowman, then do so, if ye have metal to boot. Then, by the chariot of the sun and the rosy fingers that herald the dawn, so shall I, for I know a special magical technique that hath been perfected since the time of Apollodorus himself. I was taught it by him, and a life for someone I saved with it. Goodbye. Stevie here until I return. I shall not be gone long. My word is my bond. Excuse me. Oi. Oh, goodly sir. Can you tell me the way to the palace of your goodly sovereign emperor?
Fear. To require two writ. It's in the central hub of the city, the portion that's reserved for the upper classes. It is that way, hence. Keep walking through there and go up straight up the steps at the front. You can't miss it.
Thanks. The central section of the city is filled with the tallest buildings in the city. These buildings are rather lavishly decorated with nine-sided windows made of glass. Various creatures walk these streets on either side. While in the middle, spider sedan chairs carrying the city's nobility travel back and forth. That's it. That's a palace. It looks really grand. It should take a few minutes to get there. Excuse me, please. Thank you. Quite a queue. Good afternoon. I am Prince Karna, son of Varsan, your great emperor. When I call your name, each of you will come forth and be directed to the spot. Our next candidate shall be... What be thy name? Eric, a humble snowman. Step forward. Eric the snowman, followed by Mr. Maxos the fourth. How fortunate they are. Their walls have already risen.
What made you tarry thus in the name of the immortal gods?
Apologies, my lad emperor. Had I known a sheriff's come sooner. Father, this snowman has volunteered his services. Take him to the spot.
Know you how to dispel Okayon?
Goodly, sir. I know of a procedure which can.
Others have tried to help me, O snowman. All have failed. What, prithee, makes you any different?
I should see the wall ere I act, my lad. Once I am near it, you shall see it. The quadrupedal dog-like sovereign gives him a very hard stare. Please, father, let him see. Wherefore can harm come from it? The Emperor of the Vunfrane leads Eric through the palace, past many grand opulent areas and through doors and past memorial walls until finally he reaches the spot, a wall near a staircase.
Here is the wall. I wish ye luck, even though I do not think that you shall have it.
Eric stares at the wall for a moment. One can tell he is developing a strategy. Eventually, he raises his arms in a manner reminiscent of a conjurer. I refute it thus. A gigantic ball of magical energy is charged to the black substance, and a bright light imbues the room for a few seconds. After dispelled, the wall is sparkling like a diamond.
Why, you have destroyed it!
Aye, my lad. I believe I am owed my groats.
Thou darest assume that the Vunfrane Emperor doth dole out money to the lesser creatures. Thou art as foolish as thou art resourceful, heathen snowman.
'Tis enough, father. Let him receive ransom. Father's an intolerable egomaniac.
Thou darest defy thy father.
Marry do I, sir. The Prince of the Vunfrane turns to address Eric, who bows before him. Eric, your money will be charged you in due course. If faith, I humbly thank your excellency. May the heavens raid orders upon you.
I am more powerful. Silence, father.
You may be emperor, but in this instance thy authority be less than mine. Sometime later, Eric proudly walks down the steps of the palace with a bag of money in his hand. It's too dark. So dark.
Oh, I don't think there's any escape you this time. Where is the child?
I'll never tell you.
I shall ask you one last time. Where is that child?
Get away from me. You can threaten me all you want with your laser eyes, but you will never have the information. Your fist will shoot you down with his thunderbolts.
Don't give me that religious codswallop. Now tell me where the child is, or I'll laser you. Even if you escape, I have an entire army outside, and they will run you through with their swords.
I don't know.
What did you say?
I don't know where the child is. I am his father's friend. I just don't know. He ran off into the woods, I think.
Good. It will be easy to power the sacrifice. This afternoon, I am coming home. I am sorry to be doing this to you, but in war, there are casualties. Believe me when I tell you that this is a war, one which will liberate the world, Doak, and remake it in the image of the way it should be. Like a red rag to a bull, so shall this sacrifice be.
Better than the sacrifice of Logerius.
Now, die.
Lord Nyx, he has done it.
Does Ragnar's Hector arrogance know no bounds? He would seek to harm a child just as he would harm my children. Should I tell my snow geese what I intend to do? Perhaps I should. I'll think I'll plot this out carefully.
Yes, my lord. I'll get all the maps you need, sir.
Kiss my potato, goddess.
I shall.
Frisbee, kiss my leeks. Kiss my pumpkin. Kiss my artichoke. Mita, the goddess of fertility, wine, and parties, dances among the weird villagers. One with webbed feet, one with hedgehog prickles, one with ridiculous long nails, and one with a dog's head, kissing their vegetables. A sign of good luck and prosperity, for today is the festival of the agriculture and the grape, the prime harvest festival of World Sween. That vine is climbing a tree. Bundles of grapes it has, and leaves, and wounds its way as a snake does when it climbs up a tree. Amazing. Chapter 5, The Piss Pump. Being the fifth part of the introduction arc. In the village, Eric and Oriol sit outside the pub eating fish and chips. Marry Oriol, Privy. See what happens when a snowman attempts to eat. Right through me it did go.
Oh yay, oh yay. The town hall catches fire. Fire brigade cannot put it out.
So it has. A ladder carrying on has fallen from it. Come, let's find something. A piss pump. It would certainly be less dignified than Great Neptune's ocean, but still, it is a solution. The streams of urine come out of the hydrant, sailing through the air until they reach the grand old town hall, drenching it in urine. It creates the most pungent odour, but at length the fire is extinguished.
Honour thee not, but thou, sir, art a hero.
The rest of the festival is spent in joy. The goddess herself and the rest of the rustics dance and down beer. Eric happily drinks beer, while the crowd looks on and cheers. Episode 7. The city of Overchester is one gigantic megalith of buildings. An amount of them with a lot of mass. The city exists on three levels. In the middle, exist two gigantic metal plates, one with decent enough housing, and one with gigantic glass apartments like beehives. These are where society's middle class and upper class live. Beneath them exist the slums of Overchester, the bottom level, riddled with dirty houses, poor shops, and dismal factories. Well, railway bridges connect all these sectors. Eric and Oriol briefly inspect their drab, dismal lodgings in the slums before they depart to examine the city. Yon even 20, good Master Zerith. Nay, madam, it doth not behove me to accept. What be that swirling loop in the sky? Faith, it is a teleportation ladder. Such a one have not existed since the time of Vanderbilt. What does it do here? Something's emerging from it. A man dressed in a red coat uniform and tricorn, with a white scaramouche mask covering his face.
In faith, 'tis most peculiar.
At Nunu Ragnar.
Oh, the gods, there'd be more of them. Up in the sky, 'tis a snowman flying and burning lasers from his eyes. That snowman, burning down that washing man. I think I knew him. Ragnar.
Ragnar flies up to the plate supporting the glass apartments. His eyes glow white hot as he melts down the metal girder supporting the bottom left corner of the plate. Flaming erupting from them down the girders. Then he flies away before the impact begins. The middle classes on the middle plate watch in horror. The upper classes stop their partying when they feel their portion of the plate swaying.
I do have oil. I shall talk to him that he makes a cease this villainy.
Eric, no!
Yet he is undeterred. He leaps off the roof and holds onto Ragnar's body. The two snowmen stare at each other in the eyes. Eric hangs from Ragnar. A moment of intimacy begins to form between them. They're owning them entirely.
A touching reunion.
I thank the oil.
Oh, thank God, my dearest Carrick is alright. Here, yeah, have you come? I must save this day. Oh, I must save it and run over head home.
Down below, four-legged dog-like creature watches as Ragnar retreats into the spiral. After him, some ghost-like creatures follow, no more visible than wisps. Eric and Oriol watch in horror as they depart, for they are the Fates, and none other than the leading Fates, Clotho, Lachesis, and Atropos.